Morning, beloved ones.
Morning.
Turn to somebody and tell them, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. And you look marvelous. And you look fantastic. You look marvelous. You're looking good. Yes. I see you and you're looking good. Well, I don't know about you, but we are only 12 days, or already I should say, 12 days into this new year, and I already feel like it's a couple of months that have taken place. I don't know if anybody else has felt like, gee, a lot of time has passed between last week and this week, and feels like time is speeding up. And I think because there are so many things that happen, you know, within a moment's time, and that we are so, because we're in this digital age and this information age and the immediacy of everything, that we, you know, if something is happening over in Puerto Rico or Australia or whatever, we get it instantly. And we're getting so much of it that it feels like, wow, more, more, more. So it may give us the illusion that time is speeding up and moving along because there's a lot more information that I think we're taking in. But this is still, you know, the beginning of a new year, and 2020 seems to be carrying the energy of lots of hope and promise, and a sense of new year energy that will speak to a powerful year. People saying this is going to be a powerful year. We say that every New Year's usually, right? But I hear more people feeling and saying that there's something about this year, that something is afoot, and it's going to be a very powerful year. And I think it has a lot to do with the number of this year, of 2020, don't you? I think it has a lot to do with 2020 because it feels like people are enjoying the play on the number 2020. They're enjoying the play of its connection to the idea of perfect vision, 2020 vision, right? And I've seen banners and commercials that are focusing on concepts like focus and clarity and perfect sight, of course, perfect vision, right? And we're all trying to see our way clearly. We are all trying to see the good, see what lies ahead, and to see what is ours to see. We're all at this point of time in the beginning of a new year, we're all trying to set our intentions and to set our dreams and our desires for this, what we are envisioning in the year ahead. And we're holding in consciousness, at least we're starting off that way, we're holding in consciousness what looks like it's going to be right and perfect for us. We're looking for that perfect vision. 2020, right? What's a perfect dream? The phrase that say we should start with the end in mind. And so, you know, some of us are holding the end in mind. It's going to look like this. 2020 is going to show up like this. It's going to feel good. But I began to think, well, what if, however, 2020 is not perfect vision? What if 2020 vision is imperfect? What if what shows up is not what we have envisioned for ourselves? What if it holds some disappointments or some flaws or some failures, right? Sometimes I think I have had and held expectations about how I think, right, something should unfold or how I want it to unfold. So I've held some expectations and some hopes and some visions about what I thought would be a perfect situation, what I thought would be maybe a perfect scenario. You know, if things were working well, it would look like this, right? Or that there would be a perfect outcome of the outcome of this situation would look like this. But what if we experienced something totally different? Right? What if 2020 vision was imperfect? And what is this whole notion about perfection? 2020, perfect vision. What is this whole concept of perfection, and does it really even exist? Does perfection exist? This is what Webster says. I found two definitions that I kind of thought were very interesting. And one of them was that perfection is the condition or state or quality of being free or as free as possible from all flaws or defects. And I went, Another definition they had for perfection, that it is the action or process of improving something until it is flawless or as flawless as possible. Now, when I read those two definitions, I had to laugh because I thought they added some qualifiers in there, right? Because the first one said that perfection was the state of quality of being free, and then they put the qualifier, or as free as possible from flaws or defects. And then the second one was it was being something being flawless or as flawless as possible. Because even the definition of perfection is not expressed as some complete state of being. It is not expressed as some some state of completion, because if we look at life, life is never complete. We're always in a state of growth. We're always in a state of what? Evolution, of change, of moving towards something. Nothing really is static or flawless all the time. And so there's always room for movement, for growth, even in perfection. It's one being free from flaws or as free as possible. It's flawless or as flawless as possible. So possibility has something to do with perfection. Not completion, not a static state of being. You know, someone might say, yes, well, you know, someone has completed their life here and it's over, it's completed. No, not even death completes a final expression of life, right? Everything is ongoing and there's always room for more. So nothing is free from flaws or free from areas that might need improvement or free of evolution, except the expression of the divine. Because there's a scripture that I used to always ponder, and it said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I used to think, oh, Lord, I can never be. Wow, does that mean I have to try to be perfect? Be ye perfect. But what I interpret that to mean is that the perfection is in God and that God sees the perfection. But as it moves through me, the perfection of God is as it unfolds at a particular time in my unfoldment, in my growth, in my evolution, and that I should look towards that experience of unfolding and growing in the perfection of God, but not that I am to be as perfect as God. The oneness and the spirit and the energy of the divine does live and move in me, or I live and move in it. But it's not that I must be perfect. It is that I must allow the perfection of God to move through me. Because here's the thing, that the moment this sense of perfection, when it moves through the human condition, when it moves through human consciousness, when it moves through our human nature, it moves in as perfection, but moves out from us as imperfect. Right? It's a paradox. Because life is perfectly imperfect. Now, when I say life is perfectly in, I'm not talking about divine life, because divine life is perfect. But that life energy, as it moves and filters in and through us, because we, what does the Bible say? That we look through the glass dimly. We're not clear, open vessels, free of any kind of mental debris, emotional debris. We're trying to become that, right? The whole journey is about cleaning up our mess, cleaning up this vessel so that more light comes through, more good comes through, right? And that's the goal that we're seeking. But as it moves through this human consciousness and what moves in as perfect, but then I must learn to evolve it. So there's a saying that goes, whatever is involved, that God has already created all that is to be created is involution. But the evolutionary process is our work, right? So the perfection of God is already created, but the evolution of it comes through my being. And it may come through my flaws. It may come through my, you know, my spotty moments. It may come through my clouded judgment. It may come through my unclear vision. And the process that I'm working with is how to constantly be perfectly imperfect. How to constantly move towards that greater expression with each experience that I do. This life is about embracing the imperfections within us so that we can grow deeper in our understanding of moving towards it. I want to embrace the imperfection so that I can actually grow towards that imperfection. So there's always a movement. There's always growth. We are always moving towards that, which is moving towards God, moving towards the good, letting that come to us. But it's a process. And we don't ever arrive. Because if you think you've arrived at perfection, that's the moment you cease to either be. Because if you're really that perfect, then poof, you're going to be gone. But the moment we think we've arrived at perfection is the very moment that we cease to grow. The moment we think that we have arrived and achieved perfection is the very moment you cease to evolve. Because life is about evolution, growing, changing, unfolding, expanding. That's what scientists said, that the universe is ever what? Expanding. Life is expanding and chasing and so changing. So when we think that we somehow arrive or we're complete, or we try to keep everything from growing and changing. You ever try that too? Keep everything just as it is. No stopping, no changing. I got it. I got the formula now. Wait a minute. No, don't bring that up in here. No, wait. This is perfect just as it is. Right? And life is not going to allow that level of perfection to stand. It will always introduce a new dynamic. This is as perfect as possible, because something else is going to present itself, inject itself into that situation. And so the person then, or people, those who can actually embrace or acknowledge and learn from this, these evolutionary experiences that we have, from the growth experience, from the life experience, from the imperfections that we encounter, those who can actually embrace those imperfections, because life is perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect. But when we do that, when we can, those people that can embrace that and they can learn from their mistakes and learn from their shortcomings and learn from their flaws and learn from their imperfections, those are going to be the people that will be able to move through life without a whole bunch of inner turmoil and inner conflict, because they're not struggling with, oh my God, this didn't work out right, it didn't come out right, I wanted it to be, and I can get there sometimes, you know, I want it to be perfect, I want it to be right, and then there's this one little thing that happens, you know, and it's like, doggone it, it's messed up. No, it's just an experience. But those people who are able to embrace that have less inner turmoil when the imperfection shows up. They have much more inner peace because they have a positive perspective about failure, imperfection, mistakes, missteps. They have a different attitude about what that means, what it really means for them and in their lives. They have the ability to see when those things show up, when a failure shows up, a mistake or a misstep or whatever shows up. They're able to see those occurrences and those situations as stepping stones and not as something to beat themselves up endlessly. You know, you you're tasked with doing something, and you do 9 things perfectly, and then that one thing has a little flaw, and, you know, you don't concentrate on the 9, you concentrate on that one thing. Oh, my gosh, I messed up. You know, I'm right here. But the people who have a positive perspective on failure and mistakes, they don't use it to beat themselves up. They take those errors and those things, and they use them to come to a different place in their consciousness. So I want to ask you is, how much room for imperfection do you have in your 2020 vision? How much room are you leaving yourself in your life with your perfect sense of what life should be for you? Because everybody has that, right? It should be like this. How much room are you including for imperfection? Because if all you can see is what you believe would be perfection for you, then how will you handle when life presents something other than what you hold as perfect? How will you handle that, right? Because life is going to give us, and there's, don't get me wrong, there is something very powerful in being positive and holding the vision, because this is a part of our teaching. This energy goes, you know, where your consciousness and attention flows. Yes, give direction. Yes, hold the positive vision. Hold what you want. But at the same time, you must be open enough to hold what else may come forth, what else may be. Hold what you have a sense of what perfection is, but the divine may have something else that's even different, but even better that you can't imagine, right? And what are your expectations? If you can only see what you think should be perfect, well, what happens when this imperfection shows up? It's like when you, you know, you first meet somebody and you think, oh, this is my soulmate. Wow. And you're enamored and you're in love, right? And you've created, now you've only maybe been out with them maybe 2-3 times, but you've created a scenario in your head about what life's going to look like. You married and got 10 kids and lots of money, and you're all, you know, you create a scenario of what perfection is going to be in this relationship, right? You thought, oh, this is going to be good. And then something else shows up, and you're like, what? You're disappointed because it didn't match your what? Your vision of how you thought it was going to be perfect. Or maybe you wanted this perfect job, right? My nephew is going out for a different job, and, you know, the family was asking, oh, it's the perfect job. He feels it's the perfect job for him. You know, pray that he get it, and we all are praying that he gets it. But he hasn't had the job, but he is already claiming it to be what? The perfect job. Now, haven't you done that too? Maybe you thought something was going to be the perfect job until you got in the job, and then you saw the culture, right? And you got maybe the imperfect boss, you know, the boss from wherever. Or, you know, or because your boss is going to probably be human and probably going to have some flaws. But that perfect job, all of a sudden, there's something else that's happening. But you had envisioned this. And because you already set that up and it's turning up like this, you're not able to handle it. So then you're going to be ready to move on when actually you need to move through, perhaps. But because you can't handle what is showing up that might be different than what you think is perfection, you then can't handle it, and you move and you miss out on what is yours. So, yes, this is a balance. Hold the high watch. Hold the vision for what it is. But at the same time, a conscious and aware person is able to hold it like this. To hold it in a way that there's always the possibility. It's free from, as free as possible, as faultless as possible. You leave room for possibility. See, you leave room for something else to manifest. This is what, and we got to be ready for it all. That's the point. Be ready for it all. Don't be so landlocked that I can't get out of it. It's not like this. They're not showing up like this. They have these flaws. I wasn't counting on that. I wanted them to be perfect, but they're showing up with this flaw, this inability, this, oh my God, oh man, You know, you didn't get to see that, but that's okay. Be ready for all of it. This is what Sophia Loren says. And I found some quotes from some unlikely people, but I love them. So Sophia Loren says, "Mistakes are the dues one pays for a full life." It's a full life, right? And you're going to pay your dues, meaning you're going, if you want to have a full life, and if you want to have a shallow, contained, protected life, then you're not, where you don't make any mistakes, your life is going to be just maybe right here. That's your little circle. Because if you step out here, life is going to bring you a whole bunch of things, right? And then Woody Allen said this, "If you're not failing every now and again, it's a sign you're not doing anything very innovative." If you're really comfortable and you're not out of your box at all, and you're not failing at something every now and then, he says, it's just a sign that you're not doing anything very innovative. So if we're going to venture into something new, then we've got to be prepared for some mistakes, for some failures, for some bloopers, for some disappointments. And we're going to take all of these things when they come, and we are going to see them as signs that we are growing. You can't be afraid to fail. And we've been taught that failure is a bad thing, right? Whatever you do, just don't fail, right? And we expect that the first time we attempt something, it should be perfect the first time. Because don't fail. You know, don't. So we can't be afraid of failing. We don't want to get discouraged when things begin to show up differently. Don't get discouraged when you've messed something up. You know? Because you're going to mess up from time to time. You're going to make a mistake from time to time. Nothing and no one is perfect, even though all those other people in our lives expect us to be perfect. And they want to see when our imperfection shows up, they can perfectly point it out. We do that too, do we not? Right? Because it's easy to see somebody else's flaws than our own. And so we point it out. But we're going to mess up. And as I was thinking about messing up, I said, there's a difference between being messy and messing up. So you don't want to be a messy person. And I'm not talking about physical mess. I'm talking about bringing mess. Right? Because we know people that always bring some mess. And what does the statement say? Look, don't start no mess. There won't what? Won't be no mess. So you don't want to be messy. That is bringing negativity, all that. But when you bring your best self from time to time, you are going to mess up. But your best self may have some imperfections at the moment. You may have some areas and places where you still need to grow and unfold and learn. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't step out with 100% of yourself. You're going to bring your perfectly imperfect self to the situation. And do your best and your highest in that moment. Wally Amos said this, "Mistakes are natural. Mistakes are how we learn. When we stop making mistakes, we stop learning and growing. But repeating the same mistake over and over is not continuous learning." I love that, right? You think, well, I'm just learning. No, you had that experience. He says that it's not continuous learning. It's not paying attention. That's what he says. He says, and as it's not paying attention. And then from this book, which is called The 7 Steps to Inner Peace, this gentleman named Tae Young Kim says this, "Never making a mistake does not make us perfect. Never repeating a mistake after we learn from it is as perfect as you need to be." And I love that, right? You're not going to be perfect because you don't make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. However, What will make you perfect is not repeating what you have learned from that mistake. Because when you keep doing that over and over again, then you're into a whole nother dynamic. You're unconscious. You've learned, but you haven't learned. You haven't really applied. So how are we, and there are things that I know I have repeated. You know, I'm in the continuous growth process. But I need to tell myself it's because I'm really not paying attention. And I'm really not making a conscious choice in the moment, right? So something else has to happen. I've got to pay attention to what's going on in my life. What am I doing? You know, when we walk around, I had my wonderful assistant, Raquel. I had asked her, I was looking for some backs for the earrings. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about, the little plastic backs. And it's so hard to find them in the beauty shop. So I was looking for some plastic. She said, I know where they are, and I'll get you some. I said, oh, great. You know, just whatever. I thought she said the dollar, so I'm not really sure. But she got them for me and gave them to me, and I was so happy. I took some out, and I put them in here, whatever. I have been looking for them little things. I have no idea what I did with them. And I'm too embarrassed to go back to her and say, I don't know what I did with the little thing because they were little. And I remember seeing them, but I have no idea where I put them. And I have been just hunting for them. And I thought, how often do you do that when you're not conscious of, I put them someplace, but I was not conscious in that action. So now I have no idea where they are. It's the same thing about life. Pay attention. Don't seem that any activity is inconsequential. Don't walk around just doing stuff. Be present. Be conscious to whatever it is that you're doing because it's very, very important. Yes, we know we have hindsight, you know, 2020. They say hindsight is 2020. Yes, the past has some things that we can learn from that will give us some insights, but we can't peer into the future. We've got to be present. Even the past, you've got to be present. Because if the past has given you a lesson, hindsight, it gave you a lesson. Oh, okay, now I see. Shouldn't have done that, but hindsight is 2020. I got it now. But if you don't take that learning, that knowledge, that knowing, and move it into your future, then you're at the same place. You've got to pay attention. You have to be present to your life. Because being present, being conscious to your experiences is very valuable. Whether you call whatever is happening in your life success or failure, because it's all the same thing. Success, there's some failure in success, and there's some success in failure. All of it is wrapped up. But whatever you call it, you want to be conscious of it. You want to be knowing that this experience is for my growth. It's a growth opportunity. And maybe even, you know, I'm trying to let the word failure not really be a part of my vocabulary, because it really isn't a failure. It's a learning experience. It's a growth opportunity experience. Even changing your mindset about it gives you the opportunity to relax. Because some people will hide their failures. I mean, if they've made a mistake, instead of saying to you, I've made the mistake, they're going to cover it up because failure is not an option. So I can't show you my vulnerable side. I can't be truthful to you and with you. I can't be honest and say, you know what, I'd have messed up. Very few people will come and say, oh, no, they're going to give you what? Well, you see what had happened was, it's an excuse, it's here, right? Anything to deflect. But don't do that. Don't be afraid. Own it, because if you can see where the misstep took place, if you can own that, and when you don't own it and you bring me something that is not the truth, then you compound the situation. You make it worse. So just say, you know what? This is what happened, and I forgot to do that. Okay, now let's go forward. But if you give me some other kind of something that's not reality, then I'm off here thinking I'm trying to work this out when that's not even true. It's here. So we can't be afraid to show our imperfections. This is what I was thinking, that nothing really is a failure. What God gave me this morning is it's a focus point. When you see that something that you've engaged in is not working well or didn't go well. It's simply a focus point. And it means that I want to what? Focus on that a little bit more so that I can improve it, work with it, change it, transform it, or whatever. So having 2020 vision is about seeing all of our focus points, all of what's happening, being able to be clear, because if you can see your focus points, or some people might call them failures, I call them points of change, points of transformation, points for me to focus on, points that will lead me, if I can focus on these points, these things, they can lead me to on my journey to where I want to be. I can get a greater understanding of where I actually am, right? And where I want to be, and what is it going to take, what is required for me to go over here. But if I'm hiding from myself and I'm hiding from others that this focal point here is something other than what it is, then I'm going to create something that's not on point. That's not where I need to be. So here's the formula that I have. When you run into stumbling blocks, and that's what I also call them, see them as focus points. Because life is going to present us with what? Stumbling blocks, stuff that gets in the way, things that trip us up, and things that don't work, or whatever. But if you run into a few stumbling blocks, begin to see them as focus points and try to learn from them. So here's what it is. I turn my failures into focus points, and my focus points become fuel for my forward advancement, right? I turn my failures into focus points, and my focus points become fuel for my forward movement. So what seems like a failure, I'm really just falling forward. I'm not falling back because I learned something. I gained something. I gained some wisdom. I gained some understanding. Now I got a better, I can fall forward. I'm never falling. When you understand, I'm never falling backwards. That information gave me some new information. I'm now armed, right? I can fall forward. I'm using this as fuel for me. I'm turning my imperfections into perfection in that moment, right? And perfection is just it's a temporary thing. But when I learn to focus, use my focus points to become fuel for my forward movement, that's how I'm growing. That's how I'm learning. That is how I'm taking my understanding and increasing it. And when I gain in understanding, I gain in knowledge. And knowledge is good, but knowledge is only good to the point that you use it. Because when I gain in knowledge and now I use knowledge, I've turned my knowledge into what? Wisdom. You understand? Wisdom comes because I know how to use knowledge. Wisdom comes because I know this didn't work before. I've used it. Now I got that. I'm going to take this past experience, this past knowledge, and I'm going to move it into my future for wisdom. I'm going to fall forward and live a full life. So in 2020, are you willing to see it all?
Yes.
Oh, you are? Thank you, Rev. Rev said she was. And a couple of you over here. So I'm going to be working with you all this year. The rest of you all going to have to catch up and when you wake up. So in 2020, this is what I'm saying for myself. I'm willing to see it all because I want to have a clearer vision so I can have a fuller life. I want to have a clearer vision so I can have what? A fuller life. And I've been working with this phrase, I want to let it all be okay. I want to let it all be okay. If I think it's not okay because I got to hide this and this didn't work, no, I'm going to let everything be okay. And this was a phrase that I got. Yeah, it's true. This is my mantra that I'm working with for this year that I've adopted for myself. And you all know I'm working with this book, The Untethered Soul. And I'm really doing some deep cleansing and looking, whatever. And one line that I read the other day, which I absolutely love, because his whole thing is, you need to let it all be okay. Because when you start struggling and trying to change and trying to hide and trying to manipulate and get it all right, it is what it is, you know. But what he says is this. He says, everything will be okay when I am okay with everything. And I said, you know what? That is true. Everything's going to be okay when I'm okay with everything. My faults, my flaw, everything. It didn't work. Okay, you know what? I'm okay with that. Because then I don't have to use energy struggling with that. I can use my energy to create and do something new and build and move forward. It's okay. I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to let that be okay. Now, from that point of letting it be okay, what do I want to choose? What do I want to do? Everything's going to be okay when I am okay with everything. And I've been using it as a discipline, a spiritual practice. And it's been amazing because, you know, somebody brings me something. I hear something. I go, oh, and I find my little mind wanting to jump. And I said, you know what? Mm-mm. That's okay. It ain't worth all that. It doesn't mean all. You know what? I'm going to let that be okay. And from that place of being able to pull back and come back to a centered place, whatever, if there's something I need to address with that, it'll be addressed from a totally different vibration. I don't have to jump in there. You know what? It's okay. And when I get okay with it, I can see clearly what needs to be done with it. Right? It's when I'm not okay with it that I'm bringing an energy of conflict and this ain't right and you shouldn't have done and blah, blah, blah. Mm-mm. It's okay. Because everything is going to be okay when I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Now I'm going to make my conscious choice. I'm going to take a positive action based on where I am, and I'm okay. See, I don't have to struggle with what is. That's it. It is what it is. I can't make it different. I don't need to spend my time to make it different. Once I get okay with it, then my choice will determine how I interact with that situation and circumstance. Everything is okay when I become okay with everything. So this is what we mean in unity terms. We say, see it all good, right? See it all as good. See the good. So you know what? I'm like, you know what? That's all right. I'm going to see that as good. It's all good. Now I really can say it's a different meaning for me. When I say it's all good, it really is all good. I ain't going to struggle with what I think ain't working and what's bad. It's all good. And from that place, I'm going to allow the goodness of God to come on through. So if I fumble, I'm going to focus. And if I focus on my focus points, I'm going to fall forward. I'm going to move because I am perfectly imperfect and imperfectly perfect just as I am. Moving, growing, unfolding. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste.